I think so.
So thank you, everybody. I have, we come to the, towards the end of Tisha B'Av. I want to start with one very simple question. On Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah tells us that we commemorate the destruction of both temples, both Batei Mikdash. One was destroyed in 586 BCE. The second was destroyed in 70 CE. 650 years separated the two destructions of the temple. According to the Mishnah, both temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. My question is a simple question. What are the chances? What are the chances that both temples would be destroyed, 650 years separating them, by two different enemies, the Babylonians and the Romans, on exactly the same day? And I want to explore that question, both as it relates to an answer to that question, as it relates to understanding Tisha B'Av, and as it relates to generally understanding what it means to study history in a Jewish context. Rabbi Kelman, please share, and we'll take it away from there.
Well, there, I put them in the chat box. You can share the screen if you want.
Oh, I'm...
Yeah, you're co-host. Like, you can share the screen.
I take it from the... oh, so here we go. Can everybody see that?
Not, you didn't share your screen yet.
Oh, I didn't hear you go. Okay, hold on 1 second. Sorry.
I put it in the chat box, so if you want to spend part of time not sharing this, you know, it's up to you,
I will share the screen. Sorry. Just take a second.
You can go back and forth, which is what I like to do anyway.
Yeah, okay, so. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Sorry, I just got mixed up with the chat box. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So we begin this exploration by looking at two psukim in the Nav. Uvachodesh hachamishi b'shiva lachodesh, hishnat tisha esrei shana lamelech Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. A pasuk from Malachim Beis tells us that on the fifth month, the month of Av, on the seventh of the month, the 19th year to the king Nebuchadnezzar of Bavel, Nebuzaradan, Rav Hatabachim, Nebuzaradan, the chief of the guards, Eved Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. Vayisrof et Beit Hashem vet Beit HaMelech. And he burnt the house of God. The eight called Batei Yerushalayim vet called Beit Gadol Saraf Baish. And he destroyed, he burnt the Beit HaMikdash. What's the date? Bachodesh hachamishi b'shiva lachodesh, the seventh of the month of Av. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's interesting, they're both at the end of the books. The pasuk at the very end of Yirmiyahu says, uvachodesh hachamishi be'asar lachodesh. And on the fifth month, on the tenth day of that month, hishnat tishas rei shana lamelech Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. Again, the 19th year in Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim amad lifnei melech Bavel b'Yerushalayim. He stood before the king, and it goes on to say that he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. So what we have here is, we have a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk in Malachim says the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th. And one pasuk says the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av. Now, just as a side note, it's important to know that it seems to be that during the period after the destruction of the second, of the first temple, before the building of the second temple, they did fast on this fifth month. The people come to the Navi Zechariah and they say, Ha'efkeh b'chodesh ha'chamishi, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, will we cry on this fifth month? So it seems to be that in the Navi, that they identify just the fifth month, not the date of the month. But what date was it? Now we observe Tisha B'Av as being the ninth of the month of Av. But we have two sources. One source says it's the seventh of Av, and one source says that it's the tenth of Av. It's not good enough to say, that we'll cry or will we cry on the fifth month. What's the date? Where do we come to Tisha B'Av from?
Could it not be the whole of the month? Could it not be the whole?
I mean, so Ka'efkeh B'Chodesh HaChamishi, but it's not talking about fasting. It's just Ka'efkeh. Maybe. Seems to be that pasuk is talking about the fasts, because Zechariah's answer is Som Hadis and Som Hadis, Yule Beit Yisrael, the Sasson Simcha. So he's talking about the fasts. So the Gemara,
it could have been celebrated like Ramadan, Lahabdul.
That could have been. I guess that's an option. As we come to the end of Tishrei, we say Baruch Hashem, we didn't take that option, but I guess it could have been that option. Now the Gemara takes off on this question. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tanis tells us that five things happened to the Jews on Tisha B'Av. The second and the third things, the first thing was there was declared they wouldn't enter the land of Israel. We'll come to that. The last two are complicated. Rabbi Kelmer will have to invite me back next year. The second and the third things that happened on Tisha B'Av were that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the third thing is that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara in Maseches Tanis, and we'll read this carefully. Uchsiv, Vatisa kol ha'ida vayitnu es kolam, vayivku ha'am balayla ha'hu. The pasuk says at the beginning of Parsha Shlach that the Meraglim came back with a bad report about the land of Israel. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. Vayivku ha'am balayla ha'hu, and the people wept that night. And you know the Medrash, when it says balayla ha'hu, it must be a specific night. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. O so layla leil tisha be'av haya. What is that night? That night is Tisha B'Av. Now that's important. That is not in the Chumash. That's a medrash. They identified that night must have been Tisha B'Av. I mean, identify back. There was no Churban Beis HaMikdash at that time. But that was the moment they cried on Tisha B'Av night. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem bichisem bichia shalchinam, vani kovei alachem bichia l'dolos. You cried for no reason. You cried needlessly that night. I will give you a reason to cry. And the idea of the Gemara is that night is the night God's going to punish us. We cried for no reason. They cried for no reason. God's going to give us a reason to cry. So already before we look at the psukim regarding the destruction of the temple, we already know that that's the night. That's the bad night of the calendar. That's the night we're supposed to cry. Now we go on. Charav habayis barishona, the second thing that happened on Tisha B'Av, according to the Mishnah, was that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, the psukim that we just looked at. Uvachodesh hachamishi b'shibol achodesh hishnas tisha esrei shana la melech Nebuchadnezzar. Melech Bavel ba Nebuzaradn rab tabochim. Eved melech Bavel Yerushalayim vayisrov es Beis Hashem. Okay, first the pasuk from Malachim, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th of the month of Av. Uksiv, and the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Uvachodesh hachamishi besor lachodesh, hishnas tishais reishana la melech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, ba Nebuzaradn rav tabochim, amad lifnei melech Bavel, b'Yerushalayim. So here you have the two pasuk. And now the Gemara addresses our Vitan, we learned in a braisa, an old tradition. We learned in a braisa. Efshar lomar b'shiva shaharei kvar nemar be'asar. The pasuk in Malachim says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th of Av. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av. What are you going to do? You can't say the 7th because it says the 10th. The Efshar Lomar Be'asar, you can't say on the 10th, Sharei Kvar Ne'amar B'Shiva, because the Pasuk in Malachim says it was burnt on the 7th. Ha Ketzad, how do you resolve these two psukim? So the Gemara tells us a story. B'shiva nichnesu nachrim laheich. On the seventh, they entered the sanctuary. V'achlu v'kilkulu bo shvi'i shemini. And on the seventh and the eighth day, they ate there and they desecrated it and they did all these terrible things. U'tishi'i samuch l'chashecha. This is where we are right now. Chi'i, at least if you're living in New York. U'chi'i samuch l'chashecha. And on Tisha B'Av, close to the evening, the end of the day, heitzitu bo esha'ur. They set the Beis HaMikdash aflame. V'haya dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. And it burnt the entire day of the tent. Shenemar, oy lanu kifana hayom kiinatu tzilele arev. The pasuk says, woe unto us, for the day has declined, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. So here the Gemara tells us a story. It's not a story in the Psukim. Let's go back to see everybody. It's not a story in the Psukim, but it is a story that the Gemara tells us. What happened? They entered the Beis HaMikdash on the Babylonians entered the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh. And they partied in the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh and eighth. On the ninth, towards the end of the day, they lit the Beis HaMikdash aflame. And it burnt the whole day of the tent. So, first of all, you know that this story that the Gemara tells us is the source of many halachas. The first halacha is that tonight, don't get a haircut. Because we keep the observances of the 9 days until tomorrow at Chatzos. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash burnt into the tent. So therefore, we observe that by keeping, we don't fast like you suggested until the 10th, but we keep the observances of the 9 days until the 10th. And then we have an interesting twist, which actually is a little ipcha mistabra, a little fakert from what you might think. And that is, again, all of you who are observing an afternoon of Tisha B'Av already, and if you're on the West Coast, you're already in the afternoon also. The observances of Tisha B'Av get less in the afternoon. We sit on chairs. That might be related to kinos. But either way, at Chatzos, we sit on chairs. Clearly, we put on talis and tefillin. Men put on talis and tefillin in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. We don't put on talis and tefillin in the morning. Something gives way in the afternoon. And the Mefarshim explained, the Achronim explained, the Rishonim explained also, that why do we give in a little bit and the restrictions become less in the afternoon? Amazing thing. Because what happens in the afternoon of the ninth? On the afternoon of the ninth, that's when he lit the Beis HaMikdash aflame. You'd think that's terrible. That's the worst. We should fast harder in the afternoon. No, exactly the opposite. Says the Medrash, Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamaso Ala Eitzim V'Ala Avonim V'Lo Ali. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the minute that he lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, we were safe, right? We were safe because he took out his anger on the Eitzim and on the Avonim, on the Beis HaMikdash and not on us. And therefore, we celebrate in a kind of Ipcha Mistabra way, we celebrate in the afternoon when the Beis HaMikdash was lit aflame. That's when we can relax. That's when we can exhale. At least God didn't destroy us. Wow. So this story in the Gemara is very, very important in terms of our observance of Tisha B'Av, right? Just simply, our observance of Tisha B'Av is really defined by this story. This story is the Gemara's way of reconciling two conflicting datings of the destruction of the first temple in 586 BC. But that's what the Gemara does. The Gemara has figured out a way to reconcile two psukim, and the date of the ninth of Av is the date of the destruction of the temple. Now remember for a minute before we go on, why is it so important that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed on the ninth of Av? Actually, it doesn't have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It has to do with the Meraglim. It has to do with the fact that because the people cried on that night. That established Tisha B'Av. If it wasn't for the Meraglim, there would have been no need to identify Tisha B'Av. I don't know, like your point about how you would fast. Maybe you'd fast on the 7th, maybe you'd fast on the 10th, maybe you'd say the 9th because it's in the middle. I don't know what you would say, but it wouldn't have mattered. The only reason it mattered is because since they cried unnecessarily on Tisha B'Av, so therefore Tisha B'Av is the day in which we're going to commemorate bad things. Okay, so far, so good. Now, let's go back to the Gemara, that very same Gemara. So the Gemara goes on and it says, first it says, V'hainu the Amar of Yochan, the second line there in the last piece, Ilmale hayisi ba'oso hador lo kivati ve'la ba'asiru, b'pnei sherubo shel heicho bo nisra. Right? So, Rabbi Yochanan would have fasted tomorrow. Okay? Lucky we're not Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know. We would have just fasted tomorrow. But the Chachamim say, Aschauta de Puranusa Adifa, and therefore we fast on the 9th, because that's when the Beis HaMikdash was lit aflame. And now, that's fine. That is the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. What about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash? Uvashniya Minalan. How do you know that in the year 70, the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av? Now, remember, for those people who learned the Gemara in Gittin today, that's one of the permitted Gemaras on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara is filled with stories about what happened during the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So they knew what was happening during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. But what do they say? Simple Gemara. Uvishniya minolan. How do you know the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Detanya, Desanya, that we learned in a braisa. Megalgulin zchus liyom zakai vechova liyom chayav. That a meritorious matter is brought about on an auspicious day. That good things happen on good days and bad things happen on bad days. Megalgulin zchus liyom zakai vechova liyom chayav. How do you know that the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Because good things happen on good days, bad things happen on bad days. Tisha B'Av's our bad day. Tisha B'Av's the day that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So if Tisha B'Av's our bad day, and Tisha B'Av is the day in which the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it must be that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av as well. The Gemara is not in any way interested in what actually happened on Tisha B'Av. There's no attempt, right, in the discussion of the first Beis HaMikdash was Psukim from Navi. So they had to discuss, how do you understand, how do you reconcile those Psukim? But in the second, in the description of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there's no attempt to try to figure out exactly what happened. The history plays no role. The historical date plays no role. How do we know the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed on Tisha B'Av? It's a religious date. What does it mean it's a religious date? It had to be on that date. Why did it have to be on that date? Because Megalgulim Chova Liyom Chaya. Because bad things happen on bad days. Now that is extremely striking. Extremely striking. We have all been brought up our whole lives knowing the fact that both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Turns out that the Gemara itself, not some obscure source, the Gemara itself is not so sure. The first Beis HaMikdash, the Psukim contradict. So the Gemara has to tell a story to reconcile the Psukim. And even then, the 9th of Av, whether you fast on the 9th of Av, is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and the Chacham. And the second Beis HaMikdash has no interest really in identifying the date. Just Megalgulim Zchus Liyom Zakai V'Chov Liyom Chayav. The date of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash seems to be identified not with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather with Vayikuham Balayla Hakul. And by the way, the last two things in the Mishnah, Nilkata Beitar, that the rebellion, the Bar Kokhba rebellion ended on Tisha B'Av, also is not something that's proved historically, but just again, Vayikuham Balayla Hahu, it's just a bad day for the people. Must be that it was that day. And the other thing, B'nech B'Shair, we don't even know what that's referring to. But also, something, whatever happened, they plowed over the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the spot of the Beis HaMikdash, that was kind of the end of the destruction. There was no way to rebuild it at that point. That also happened. Vayivkuham b'layla hahu, megau glimcho b'layom chay. So what we need to figure out is, what is that idea? What is that religious idea that bad things happen on bad days? And how could it be that we fast on Tisha B'Av, and that Tisha B'Av is such a bad day, not so much because we know that the Batei Mikdash were destroyed on that day, but because of some religious idea that's the bad night of history. That's the bad day of history. And then Megal Glim Chova Liyom. So in order to answer this question, I think we need to take a little bit of a journey. And I want to ask the question, what day was the second Beis HaMikdash really destroyed? Again, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed sometime between the 7th and the 10th. The Gemara tells the story and that's what happened. Whether it's historical or not doesn't matter, but it's between the 7th and the 10th. The second Beis HaMikdash, we have no idea. The Gemara doesn't even give us a hint about when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So if you want to know about history in the first century CE, where do you look? Everybody, where do you look? If you want to know history in the second century CE, you look at Josephus. Josephus, right? Josephus was the commander of the Jewish forces in the Galilee. He was a Jew, a good Jew. There were forces up north in the Galilee and there were forces down south protecting Jerusalem. The Galilee forces fell in 66. The Great War was in 66. The forces fell in 67. He was taken captive. They captured Josephus and he joined the Romans. And that's a whole complicated story. He joined the Romans. And eventually he goes to Rome and he becomes the official historian of the Romans. And he covers the Jews. He covers what happens to the Jews, the history of the Jews. And he talked about Jewish history and it's all fascinating. And of course, the whole study of history is amazing, of Josephus is amazing, right? Obviously, he's a Jew writing the history of the Jews for the Romans. So whose side is he on? Is he on the side of the Romans or the side of the Jews? And that's fascinating. We'll see something that relates to that in a minute. But in terms of the basic history, here we can see Josephus, what he tells us about what happened. When was the second temple destroyed? And join me as we study Josephus. For people who want these sources, the sources are in the chat. Afterwards, if you want them, here we go. Josephus, the Jewish War, chapter 6. And now two of the legions had completed their banks on the 8th day of the month. Right? We call it the month of Av. Whereupon Titus, who was the general, gave orders that the battering ram should be brought and set over against the western edifice of the inner temple. But when Titus perceived that his endeavors to spare a foreign temple turned to the damage of his soldiers and made them be killed, he gave order to set the gates on fire. Okay, so on the 8th, he gave orders to set the gate on fire. But then on the next day, Titus commanded part of his army to quench the fire. So on Tisha B'Av, they didn't light the Beis HaMikdash on fire, but they actually quenched the fire. because it seems to be that it was damaging his soldiers, and to make a road for the more easy marching up of the legions, while he himself gathered the commanders together himself. So on the 8th, he thought he would destroy the Beit HaMikdash. But then he decided that that was a bad idea. Militarily, that was a bad idea. And therefore, on the 9th, he told them to quench the fire. Now, it is true that on this day, the Jews were so wearied under such a consternation that they refrained from any attacks. So basically, the Jews didn't do anything. So Titus retired into the tower of Antonia and resolved to storm the temple the next day, early in the morning, on the 10th, okay? So he lights it on fire on the 8th. They quench the fire on the 9th. He goes into the tower. He decides the next morning we are going to storm the temple early in the morning with the whole army and to encamp round about the holy temple. Now look what Josephus writes. Josephus, right? The secular, right? I don't know, the Roman, not secular exactly. That's a bad term. I apologize. He was the Jewish Roman historian. But as for that house, God had for certain long ago doomed it to the fire. And now that fatal day was come, according to the revolution of ages. It was the 10th day of the month of Av, upon which it was formerly burnt by the king of Babylon. That is remarkable. That's absolutely remarkable. Josephus tells us that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th day of Av, the same day that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, first of all, Josephus is reading of the destruction of the first temple on the 10th of Av in a lot of ways is better than the Gemara's reading. Because remember, the Gemara is reconciling two psukim. One pasuk says the 7th, one pasuk says the 10th. Josephus just chooses the second pasuk. So his reading of the book of Jeremiah is okay. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th. The second Beis HaMikdash, Josephus tells us a story. But at least you get the impression that that was a historical story. And that is that Titus set the gates on fire on the 8th. They quenched the fire on the 9th because Titus decided that it was better militarily to do it another way. He retires to his tower because there was no fighting from the Jews because they were exhausted. He decides on the 9th, on that night to enter in early in the morning and to burn the temple. So the temple is burnt on the 10th and both Batei Mikdash are destroyed on the 10th. But unlike the Gemara, Josephus seems to tell us that that's really what happened, right? That's actually what happened. Both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on the 10th. Historically, the first one as described by Yirmiyahu, and the second one as described by Josephus. But that's the story. That's what happened in the temple. And if both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on the 10th of Av. But if you noticed, there was a very interesting line here in Josephus. Look what Josephus writes. He tells us that both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on the 10th. But he says, but as for that house, God had for certain long ago doomed it to the fire. And now that fatal day was come, according to the revolution of ages. It was the 10th day of the month of Av, upon which it was formerly burnt by the king of Babylon. Now, it's a little ambiguous here, right? It's not entirely clear what he means. But clearly, Josephus also identifies the fact that, wow, that's an amazing thing. How could it be that both Batei Mikdash are destroyed on the same day? And it's God had long ago doomed it to the fire. And now that fatal day came. Meaning, what it seems to mean is, long ago, God doomed it to the fire. In 586 BCE, God doomed the first Beis HaMikdash to the fire on this day. And now, according to the revolution of ages, the day came around again. And it turns out that both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on the 10th of Av. So actually, what's amazing, he was already in Rome, yes. What's amazing here is that Josephus doesn't need this idea of God controlling. Because according to Josephus, it actually happened that way, right? It wasn't like, you know, I started the class by asking the question, what are the chances that both Beis HaMikdash are destroyed on the same day? And Josephus answers the question. The answer according to Josephus is, yeah, wow, that's remarkable. But both Beis HaMikdash are destroyed on the same day. It actually happened that way. But Josephus adds that God played a role in this. That's before we get to understanding the Gemara. I want to understand Josephus. Josephus is a historian. The Gemara is not a historian, right? The Gemara is not writing history. We'll come back in a minute to what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is not writing history. Josephus is writing history. So what does it mean God had long ago doomed it to the fire? You see, the idea of history, and this is discussed by many people, most famously in our context by Professor Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, who was a Salo Baron professor of Jewish history in Columbia for many decades. So he had a number of lectures that he gave many years ago at the University of Washington, and he collected them in a book called Zachar, which is an amazing book, which talks about the Jewish study of history and Jewish memory. And what he says, I know, but this is Josephus. So what Yerushalmi says is, and this is clearly true, that the study of history as we know it really came about with the Enlightenment, with the beginning of the 19th century. That's all of a sudden when everybody was interested in history, what really happened. But before that, all history was seen as religious history. Whether it was Jewish history or Christian history or pagan history or Muslim history, it was all history that was driven by religion. So Josephus, right, Josephus the Jew writing from Rome, he also, it's history, but if it's really so remarkable that both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on the same day, well, wow, Josephus knows that. And Josephus recognizes that. You would never read that in a history book in 2024, that, hey, wow, God must be controlling things, that both Beis HaMikdash are destroyed on the same day. You would just say, hey, that's a coincidence of history. That's the way it happened. But no, for Josephus, that's not true. For Josephus, the fact that both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on the same day, that's God had his hand in it. That's important for Josephus as well. So now, where are we at? So Josephus tells us that actually, historically, both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on the 10th day of Av. Okay? Remarkable as it may seem, both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. And when it comes to the first Beis HaMikdash, those are psukim from the Navi, from the prophets. The second Beis HaMikdash, he tells us a story about Titus. A story that, you know, that it's a legitimate story. And actually, he's the historian for the Roman emperor. So, you know, again, it's a question about, you know, whose side he was taking in this story. But we'll at least for our purposes today, this Tisha B'Av, we'll take Josephus at his word. I gave you here in the sources the rest of the story. He actually says the Jews lit the temple on fire. That's another class, which is fascinating. But that's it. That's another issue. So that's Josephus. Now we need to go back to the Gemara. The truth is that I believe that Josephus makes the question on the Gemara even stronger. The Gemara says concerning the second Beis HaMikdash, how do you know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av? Migal glinschus liyom chaya v'chova liyom chaya. Sorry, because bad things happen on bad days. Why do I say that Josephus made the question stronger? Because it seems to be that, believe it or not, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Well, the 10th of Av. But the story, as Josephus gives it to us, you know, it was lit on fire on the 8th, and then they put it out on the 9th, and they burnt it for sure on the 10th. It's very easy to turn that story into Tisha B'Av. So I think the question on the Gemara is, why doesn't the Gemara at least tell us the story? It can tell us Megalglim Chova Liyom Chaya, but why doesn't it tell us the story? The story seems to support the Gemara. The answer, of course, is, and again, the Gemara knows the story, because the Gemara in Gittin tells us all the stories about the destruction of the temple. In great detail, it describes the destruction of the temple. So it knew the date of the destruction of the temple, too. The point is, and this is the key point of the day, that is, the point is that the date is not important. It doesn't matter when the historical date. The point of the Gemara, Megalgalim Chova Liyom Chayav, is not made stronger by telling us the story that Josephus tells us. That does not make the point any stronger. The reason that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the second day, the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av is because that was the day of bad luck, and therefore there's no other day that the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that introduces us. Let me just see the question for 1 second. I'll pause for 1 second. I think Josephus also raises the question raised in the Gemara of why we wouldn't fast on the 10th instead. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's true. But you see, the fact that Josephus has it so close to the 9th and the stories could go either way, you could take it either way. Josephus' expression, according to the revolution of the ages, corresponds to the term time is Megalim Schus. That's correct. And congrats, I'm not so interested in. Okay. If so, we only heard about it secondhand. I know. So that's a story. There is a study in Josephus about how he knew it. But at least for our purposes, and again, I'm really interested in the Gemara. I'm using Josephus only as a way of strengthening our question on the Gemara. It seems that it happened that way. Why doesn't the Gemara tell us that story? The answer is, and this Yushalmi points out in his book Zachor, the whole book is about this. The Jews, as Jews, we don't study history. As Jews, we study memory. Memory means, what is the significance of that date to us in the religious calendar? That's the question. What is the significance of the date in the religious calendar? And as the Gemara tells us, the significance of the date, and this really is fascinating, the significance of the date is not related to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, the dating of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't automatically fall on Tisha B'Av, either one. The significance of the dating is the story of the Meraglim. The reason we fast on Tisha B'Av for the Churban Beis HaMikdash 1 and 2 is because the Jews cried at the time of the Meraglim. That's what set this date into motion as being the Yom Chaya, as being the day of bad luck of the Jews. And both Batei Mikdash, both the first one, reconciling the dates, the reconciliation of the dates, the story told by the Gemara, is not a historical story. The truth is the Gemara tells the historical story because the Navi tells the story, so the Gemara tries to explain the story of the Navi. But the Gemara is not interested in the historical story. The Gemara is only interested in the first Beis HaMikdash, that the story ends up with us fasting on Tisha B'Av. You know that they're not interested in the historical story, because actually, like Rabbi Yochanan says, it would have made more sense to fast on the 10th. So the reconciliation is not tight. The key is Vayivku Am Balayla Hahu. The key is that we fast because because this was the bad night. And the second Beis HaMikdash, you say, why didn't they at least quote the story from Josephus? They're not going to quote Josephus. But why don't they at least tell us the historical data? The historical data proves that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during that 3-day period. So it only strengthens the Gemara. The answer is it does not strengthen the Gemara. That's the key point here. It does not strengthen the Gemara. The Gemara is not better because historically it happened on that day. The Gemara tells us it happened on that day because Megalglim Chovel Yom Chaya. Now, it works out. So we, historians in the 21st century, we feel better because the second Beis HaMikdash actually was destroyed on the 9th or 10th of Av. So we're not fasting even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in January. It took place on this day. But from the Gemara's perspective, that's not important. From the Gemara's perspective, Megalglim Chovel Yom Chaya, that it's a bad luck day, and therefore we identify that day with Tisha B'Av. Now I am aware that the way I'm explaining the Gemara, yeah. So and Amos Alter just asked the question. The way I'm explaining the Gemara is kind of the way the Gemara presents it. It is possible, and I have to be honest. It is possible that the reason that the Gemara Amos says Megalgulim Chova Liyom Chayav is because the Gemara knows that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, the second Beis HaMikdash. Means the Gemara knows what Josephus told us. You know, the tradition, right? The tradition that developed the Gemara in Tainus that talks about this whole thing, it knew that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during this period. So it never would have said Megalgulim Chova Liyom Chayav if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in January. They never would have said such a thing. They knew the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed now. Since they knew the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed now, so they can give it a religious significance by saying Megalgulim Chova Liyom Chayav. That is absolutely possible. Now, the reason I held back on that is the Gemara doesn't tell us that. That's a little bit, you know, kind of an academic study of the Gemara. What does the Gemara know that it doesn't tell us? But it's only fair to, you know, to identify that as a possibility. Now, what is that all about? What does that mean? Megalgulim zchus liyom zakai, dechova liyom chayav. What is it about making Tisha B'Av the day of bad luck? Vayivku ha'am balayla ha'ad. And let me just, before I answer that, identify the fact that we know that in history, we've identified other events that took place on Tisha B'Av. I wanted to show you something very interesting. One source, which is just a great source. Dan Yitzchak of Arbanel, Dan Yitzchak of Arbanel was a great financier and politician in Spain in the 1400s. He was one of the Jews who was expelled from Spain in 1492. And I'll just tell you, I gave you the edict of expulsion at the end. On March 31st, 1492, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella said in the bold that by the end of the month of July, next of the present year, they depart from all of these said realms and lordships. The 31st of July, 1492 was the day of the Exodus. The Abarbanel on Yirmiyahu says like this. You can look it up in the Abarbanel. V'kama od mehashmadot v'gerushin hayu b'chodesh ahu l'Yisrael. Other destruction and expulsions of the Jews took place on this month. Uma usif od l'daber. What more do I need to say? Says when they were expelled, and again 3 months after when he said you have to be expelled in 3 months, okay, it was 4 months, but leave that aside. The day of the expulsion was Tisha B'Av. And look, he says, King Ferdinand didn't know anything about it. But July 31st, 1492 was Tisha B'Av. Now, what's so amazing about that? We know dates now. We can know what the Hebrew date was of July 31st, 1492. Turns out that July 31st, 1492 was not actually Tisha B'Av. It was the seventh day of Av. Okay? July 31st, 1492 was the seventh day of Av. The Abarbanel couldn't have made a mistake. The Abarbanel left Spain. He was leaving Spain. He said, we left on Tisha B'Av. And that was the day, and that was remarkable. How I didn't even know. And it turned out to be Tisha B'Av. How could the Abarbanel have made a mistake? So you could say that the Abarbanel, you could say that the Abarbanel, you know, the 250,000 Jews were expelled from Spain. Could be that it took a couple of days for the Jews to leave. So it's possible, of course, obviously it took a few days for the Jews to leave. So it's possible that the Abarbanel left on Tisha B'Av, that he didn't leave on July 31st, that he didn't leave till August 2nd, so he called the Tisha B'Av. But probably what really happened was it was close to Tisha B'Av. For the Abarbanel, the expulsion of the Jews of Spain, the end of the golden era of Spain, that was Tisha B'Av. It wasn't exactly Tisha B'Av, but that was Tisha B'Av. Megalgalim chova liyom chaya. That became Tisha B'Av. So what is this all about? What is this idea that everything goes to Tisha B'Av? That's the day, that's the Yom Chaya. That's the day of bad luck. What's the purpose? What's the religious purpose of putting everything on a Yom Chaya? And of course, that's true. We said this morning, we said a Kina for the Crusades. We said a Kina for the burning of the Talmud in 1242 in Paris. Some people said a Kina for the Jews who died in York. People said Kinos last night, this morning, for the Jews who perished in the Holocaust. We said a Kina for October 7th. What does Tisha B'Av have to do with the Holocaust? What does Tisha B'Av have to do with October 7th? I understand they're terrible moments, but what does it have to do with October 7th? The answer is Megalgalim Chova Liyom Chai. Seems to be, first of all, that we identify one day as being the bad luck day. And we put as many things as we can to say that they occurred actually on that bad day. That's the destruction of the first temple, even though we have to reconcile the Pesukim. That's the destruction of the second temple, even though the Gemara doesn't seem interested in the Pesukim. That's the expulsion from Spain, according to the Abarbanel, even though it didn't quite happen on Tisha B'Av, close enough. And secondly, we put events that didn't take place on Tisha B'Av. We remember them specifically on Tisha B'Av. Because what's Jewish memory? Jewish memory is not about the historical data. Jewish memory is about what it means to us. This is the day of bad luck. This is the day that plays out in history. It's important that things play out in history. That the Jews cried when the Meraglim came back with a bad report, that plays itself out in history. And because that's the day that plays itself out in history, in a sense, we want to make that day as terrible as possible. We want to put as many things as possible. That's the day. The Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that's the day of bad luck. So that means the Gemara is identifying that's the day when bad things happen. So therefore, we want all of these things to happen on that bad day. In a sense, they took place on that day. This day is so bad. It's so bad that look, all these things happened on this day. The expulsion from Spain happened on this day, even though it didn't quite happen on this day. And not only that, but we remember things that didn't take place on this day, because this is the day of bad luck. This is the day of Chaya, Liyom Chaya. This is our bad luck day. We want to put everything on this day. We want to remember everything on this day. We do that to make Tisha B'Av as bad as possible. Bad in the sense of as dreadful as possible, as commemorative of destructions and tragedies as possible. But there's another side to this that Professor Yerushalmi points out. There's a positive side to this. And that positive side has two pieces. The first piece is that by putting everything on Tisha B'Av, you free up the rest of the year. You know, if one Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Av and one Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in, was destroyed in January, and Beitar fell in February and Nekrosh HaYir in September, there'd be a lot of fast days. We'd be spending a lot of time. And just think for a minute about the Jews in Eastern Europe, right? Think about the Jews in Eastern Europe. The Jews in Eastern Europe who literally, you know, if they had to remember a pogrom, an attack, an anti-Semitic event in their shtetl, and they would fast on that day, they would be fasting the whole year. So what do? Yerushalmi points out, by remembering everything on Tisha B'Av, by putting everything on Tisha B'Av, what we do is we free up the whole year. And you see, that was especially important. Everybody always says Rabbi Soloveitchik was against Yom HaShoah. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik believed that you remember the Holocaust on Tisha B'Av. And every year in Boston, he used to tell stories about Lithuania, about what was there before the war. Tisha B'Av was his Yom HaShoah. You see, of course, today that's not, you know, we understand and we appreciate the importance of Yom HaShoah. But for the Jews of Eastern Europe who came from that culture where there was so much tragedy, they needed to put everything on Tisha B'Av. They needed to free up the whole year. There was literally no alternative but to free up the whole year by emphasizing Tisha B'Av. That's the first important point. The second point, which I think is relevant, which is relevant in every generation, is that when every tragedy is different, that's very scary. When you study the tragedies, you look at the Holocaust and the vastness and how horrible the Holocaust was. You say, oh my God, it was miraculous that there still is a Jewish people, that we have a state of Israel. But then you look at October 7th and you say, the tragedy, the devastation of October 7th, how can we survive? You say, you know, and if it happened again, God forbid, how could we survive? It's so terrible. And if it happened in a worse way, we would never survive. You see, the minute that you start looking at every tragedy individually, you could always ask the question, would we survive that tragedy going forward? Miraculously, we survived up to now. But if you look at the details, if this would have worked out this way and this would have happened this way, we never would have survived. And that's very scary going forward. We're not going to survive. But Yerushalmi points out, by putting everything on Tisha B'Av, there's a nechama to Tisha B'Av. The nechama to Tisha B'Av is, and that's the mincha that we're, at least on the East Coast, about to say now. And that is the nachem of Tisha B'Av. And his Tisha B'Av is terrible, the worst. Everything bad happened on Tisha B'Av. Megalgulim chova liyom chaya. Even things that didn't happen on Tisha B'Av happened on Tisha B'Av. But that gives us a nechama, because all Jewish tragedy is the same. All Jewish tragedy represents a break in the covenant between God and the Jewish people. And that's a scary thing, the break. But with the scariness of that break, there's also a nechama to that break. And the nechama is the same nechama that applied to the first Beis HaMikdash, is the same nechama as we look at the events of October 7th. It's the same nechama. The same God who gave us nachem then will give us nachem now. And we identify the fact that it's the same nechama by putting everything on Tisha B'Av. Let me just take a minute and look at the chats, because there were a bunch of questions in the chats. Even before Yom HaShoah, the Tisha B'Av is the day of mourning. Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tzom Gedalia of days of kindness. That's a different discussion. But I will come a day of Simcha Wise, National Trader, whatever. And if something, let's see what Susan said, if something happened on a different day, it would be explode the badness. It would mean the other days can be bad too, so it can't. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly right. And let's just see what Amos said. Doesn't it work the other way? Don't we project Tisha B'Av to the night of the Meraglim because we know or think we know that the second temple was destroyed on that day? Yeah, so Amos, that's what I pointed out. So you could say that's the other way of understanding it, that they did know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and therefore the Gemara was created in that way. I don't disagree with that. But it's what's important, Amos, is the fact that the Gemara is presented in the way that it's presented. I hope that in the time that we had this afternoon, that we were able to, first of all, study a Gemara together. A Gemara that you're allowed to study on Tisha B'Av because it's about Tisha B'Av. And to understand a little bit about the history of the ninth of Av and the destructions of the Batei Mikdash. But most importantly, and I'm sure that Dr. Rivka Press Schwartz elaborated even more on this question of Jewish memory, but just to kind of touch on the idea of Jewish memory and to understand that in the history of the Jews, what's important is not the historical data. What's important is what does it mean to us? What does Tisha B'Av mean to us as a day of tragedy? But what does Tisha B'Av mean to us as a day of Nechama? Nachem. Now is the time of Nechama. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kelman.
Thank you.